Shalom to all. Today's office is about Kuf Samachay, and we're starting about the fourth line with a quote from the Mishnah. Rishim Gamaliel Omer, Akol Kamen Gamadina. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basi Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So Rishim Gamaliel had said this enigmatic statement in the Mishnah that everything is like the Minig Medina. And the Gemara asked, "V'tana Kama less like Minig Medina?" The Tana Kama doesn't hold this concept of Minig Medina, that this is the custom of the area. Of course, you would agree to that. So what's the machlokes of Rishim Gamaliel Tana Kama? The answer is, Amar Vashi tells us, "Basi Hingi Pashut." If this is a place where the Minig is that they write a get Pashut, all documents are simple, regular documents. And he told him, the fellow telling the cipher, for example, Avali Pashut, make a get Pashut for me, va'azav Avali Makusher, and the guy ended up writing a get Makusher, Kapeda. Of course he's Makbid, and it's not valid at all. Similarly, Nahigi Makusher, if in that area, that locale, the minig is to do a get Makusher, va'amrle Avali Makusher, and he told him, make a Makusher for me, va'azav Avali Pashut, and he made a Pashut, Kapeda. Obviously the guy's Makbid over there as well, because that's what the minig is, and the guy went against the minig. Both the Tanakam and Rishim Gamaliel agree to this. Keep plagi, so what's the machlokes? Ba'asu Nahigi Pashut u'makusher. It's where the minig is to do both. You could either do Pashut or Makusher. V'amar lei, and the guy who wanted the shtar written told the cipher, Avili Pashut, I want you to write a Pashut for me, V'azal Avili Makusher, but he wrote a Makusher. So Mar Savar Kpeda, the Tanakam over here holds that he's Makbid. Since he said, I want you to write Pashut, that means he was telling him, I only want Pashut and I don't want anything else. Even though Makusher is also Minig Medina, we don't go with Minig Medina, we go with what the guy said, and since he said Pashut, it has to be Pashut. Umar Savar was Rishim Gamaliel holds, Mar Makam Hulai, it's just a Mar Makam, he's so to speak giving him a piece of advice. It's as if he said, I prefer a get Pashut, but if you do it a different way, and you make it Makusher, since that's also Minig Medina, I'm going to accept that. And that's what we mean in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon Gamaliel says, everything's according to the Minig Medina. Now, Rabbi Abaye tells us, Rav Shimon Gamaliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar, Kul Svir Elhu, Mayra Makam Hulai, Rav Shimon Gamaliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar, all hold to this concept of Mayra Makam Hulai, that if a person instructs that something should be done, and it's done differently, it's not possible, because it's just a Mayra Makam, it's like a piece of advice. It's just like he's saying, here's a good way to do it, but you don't have to do it that way. Rav Shimon Gamaliel, Hada Amran, which is quoted Rav Shimon Gamaliel, Rav Shimon, what about him? Did not we have Mishnah tells us, Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon says, Im hitel shavach, arizim kudashes. If he tricked her, but it was for the better, it was for her gain, she's mekudashes. This is referring to where a man and woman were discussing their upcoming kiddushin. The man told the woman, I'm going to be mekadesh you with a silver dinner. And later, when the woman sent her shliach, sept the kiddushin, the man gave over a gold dinner. This is a toast, l'shavach. He tricked her, if you will, for the better, because now she's getting a gold dinner as opposed to silver. And according to Rav Shimon, this is totally valid, because just mar makamulai, when she told her shliach, go to that man and accept a silver dinner from him for my kiddushin, she's basically saying, look, he told me it's going to be silver, but if it's gold, adaraba, that's even better. And Rabbi Elazar, what about him? Did not we have Mishnah that tells us, Heish Amra, if a woman told her shliach, Eskabli Giti Mimakam Plani, go accept my get for me from my husband in that particular place. But the shliach ended up getting it from the husband in a different place, Pasul, it's Pasul according to Tanakama. Rabbi Elazar Machshir, Rabbi Elazar says it's kosher. What's Machlaik is Tanakama, Rabbi Elazar? Meir Sover Kepeda, the Tanakama holds that the woman is being makbid. She's saying, I only want you to accept my get for me in that place and not in a different one. Or Zumar Sover, Rabbi Elazar holds, Meir Makam Hulai. She's simply advising him, you could probably find my husband in that place, that's where the get's going to be, but if you get it from him in a different area, that's also okay. I continue to explain Mishnah, Pashut Kasu Bayerechad V'chulu. The Mishnah told us very clearly that if a get Pashut has only one aid written in it, or if a get Makusher has only two aidim in it, it's Pasul. And so we ask on this, especially in Makusher, Shakasu Bayerechad aidim, Pasul, it's Shrech. We understand that the Mishnah needs to tell us that if a get Makusher has only two aidim in it, it's Pasul. Why is that? Because Akatai Chamino, I would have thought, Hoyle Ba'al Makusher, since if a regular shtar, regular document has two aidim, it's Kusher, Hachanami kosher, so to over here, a get makusher, even though it only has two adem, it should be kosher. Kamashma, the chiddush that the Mishnah is teaching us is the puzzle that it's puzzle if it only has two adem. El pashut shakasu bayit echad, pshita. If a get pashut, a regular document, has only one aid, of course it's puzzle. We know that all documents need two adem on them. So what's the Mishnah teaching us? And on this, Amar Abaye explains, loy nitzricha da filu aid echad b'ksav, aid echad b'peh. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that even if there are two adem that are able to testify about what's written in the shtar, it's just that one aid was physically signed on the shtar, and the other one was just alpeh. He was just verbally stating that I know that what's written in this document is true. We're not going to combine these two adim together, and it's not going to be considered like a document that has two adim. And that's a chiddush in the Mishnah. Now, just to explain, what's the difference between a document that has two adim on it versus a document that has one aid signed and one aid that's just relating his ados alpeh verbally? So we know, for example, let's say Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and that's written in a shtar with adim. Then he sells his properties to Levi. These properties are called meshubadim. They're meshubad, they're on lien to the loan. So Shimon can take those properties away from Levi as payment, because since the loan was written in a shtar with Adim, there's a kol. This is something that everybody's going to know about. It's public knowledge, which means that Levi was very well aware that these properties were ready meshubah to the loan, and he can't claim, oh, I didn't know, so you can't take the properties away. However, if the loan was not recorded in a document with two Adim, then Shimon is not able to collect these properties from Levi. And that's what Abai is telling us, that the chiddush of our Mishnah is, that even though we have two Adim testifying about what's written in this document, since only one of them is signed in the shtar, and the other one is alpeh, it doesn't of the same kayach, the same strength that a shtar that has two edim signed in it. However, a memar achshur beidachod b'chzav beidachod al peh. A memar does say that such a document is kosher, meaning he allows one to collect from a shubadim, even though only one ed is signed and the other one is just giving his edus verbally. Now, when Ravashi the memar, Ravashi asked the memar, v'had abai mai. What do you do with what abai said? Amrle, he responded, loy shmieli, I didn't hear it. Kloimar, meaning to say, loy svirli, I don't agree with abai. I disagree with him, and I hold that once there's two edim testifying about what's written in the shtar, even though both of them aren't signed on it, only one of them is signed, that still provides enough of a koil, and therefore the lender could collect from a shubadim. The Gemara continues asking, Elakash Masnisin, we have a question from our Mishnah on a Meimar. Again, our Mishnah had said that get pasha that only has one aid is pasul. And what's the chiddush in that, we had asked. So according to Bai, we understand what the chiddush is, but according to a Meimar, we don't know what the chiddush is. The answer to that, Kof Samachem based on the top is, Hakamash Mlon, the Mishnah is teaching us, to Shnaim be Makusher ke aid echad be pasha, that having two aidim on a get Makusher is the same thing as having one aid in a regular shtar. Mahasam psul deraisa, afhachanayim psul deraisa, just like over there, a shtar that has only one aid signed on it is pasul deraisa, because we have a pasuk that tells us, lo yakum aid echad be'ish, so to a get Makusher that has only two aidim signed on it has a strength of a psul deraisa, even though we had explained that a get Makusher is only gzeir drabanon, nonetheless, they apply the strength of their gzeira that it has to have two aidim with a psul of a deraisa. And remember, continues, teda, you should know this is true, meaning you should know that my shita, the one aid bechsav and one aid al peh, is accepted and has the same status as if two edim are signed in the document. How do we know this? The Chavrayel Chamim sent a message to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Now it's important to note over here that Rabbi Yirmiyah was actually sent out of the Beis Medrash earlier on the Masechta on Daf Chaf Gimel and Beis. He had asked a seemingly irrelevant and silly question, and because of that, they kicked him out of the Beis Medrash. But they still would send him questions from time to time. So this is one of the questions that they sent him. Edachar bechsav, edachar al peh, ma'ushayt starfu. Let's say we have one ed bechsav, one ed al peh. Are we allowed to combine them and consider them as two edim signed on the document? And they continued to clarify their question as follows. Now, what they're about to say refers to Gemara and Sanhedrin that discusses where one aide saw Reuven lend Shimon money on Sunday and another saw Reuven lend Shimon money on Monday. The question is, are we allowed to combine their aidos to Mechayev Shimon? So Tana Kama says no, and Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says yes. And bearing that in mind, the Chum explained their question to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Alimu Tana Kama to Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, according to Tana Kama of the Machloikas between Tana Kama and Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Leitibai Lecha, we're not asking you. Even if we have two aidim Mechsav or two aidim Alpeh, we're not able to combine their aidos. Meaning, if we have one shtar that has one aid signed and another shtar has another aid signed, we can't combine those two. Or if we have two different aidim, like in the case that we mentioned from there, the one aid was giving aidos about this, another aid giving aidos about that, and again, this was both Alpeh, we can't combine those. So, of course, according to Tana Kama, Rishu ben Karcha, we're not able to combine one bishtar, one Alpeh. Rather, what are we asking Rabbi Yirmiyah? I'll leave it to Rishu ben Karcha, according to Rishu ben Karcha. And the question is, Shnai Bechsav, Shnai Alpeh, who the mitstarfi? Does Rishu ben Karcha only allow combining two Bechsav or two Alpeh? Aval Erech Bechsav, Echer Alpeh, Loimitzarfinon. But if we have one Bechsav and one Alpeh, we're not going to combine them. I don't know. Or maybe there's no difference. And Shalchlu, he sent them back a message. Ani Eni Chidash Shalachtem Li, I'm not fitting for you to send this question to me. El Kach Das Talmidchem Noite, rather the Das of your Talmud is inclined to say as follows, Shade Starfu, that they do combine. Now it's also important to note that he was referring to himself as the Talmud. He was saying, I myself, as Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'm not fitting to answer this question. But your Talmud, meaning me as your Talmud, I'm inclined to say as follows, that it is Mitzdarf. And this explanation is going to be important for the end of the Gemara. Now, bottom line is, this is a Meimar's Raya that we will combine Edus Bishtar and Edus Alpeh. However, Amrle Ravashi responded to a Meimar, Anan Hachmasnin Allah, this is how we learned it. Meaning, your quote of the question that they sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah maybe is a Raya for you, but we actually heard that the question they sent was totally different. The Shochel Chavrei Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Chum sent the following question to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shnaim Sheidu, Echro Bezin Zev, Echro Bezin Zev, Maoshevo Bezin, Eitzel Bezin, Mitzdarfu. Let's say we have two people that gave Edos. One gave Edos in Bezin in Muncie, one in Bezin in Lakewood. Are we allowed to have the two Bati Dinim coming together to combine these Eidos and now say that it's valid? And this actually refers to a totally different case in Sanhedrin where two Eidim saw something together, but they testified at two separate times or in two different Bati Dinim. The Tana Kama does not accept their Eidos because it has to be delivered together, and Rab Nosson does accept it. And here also they explain the question. Alei Tana Kama Rab Nosson, according to the Tana Kama who argues with Rab Nosson, we're not asking in regards to his opinion. Even if we have these two Eidim coming to the very same Bezdin, but they came at two different times, we're not going to combine their Eidos. Rather, what's our question to you? Does Rab Nosson say that if these two Edim came to the same Bezdin, just at two different times, then we'll combine their Edos? But if they went to two different Bate Dinim, then we're not going to combine their Edos, or maybe there's no difference. Rabbi Yirmiyah sent them back, I'm not fitting for you to ask me this question. Rather, the Das of your Talmud is inclined to say as follows, Shade Starfu, they do combine. And in this version of the question they sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah, this discussion of Edos combining has nothing to do with what Amemar was talking about, one Bechsav and one Alpeh, so and therefore on Meimar, you actually don't have a raya from this whole discussion to your shita. Now, once we're discussing what question they sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah, we have yet another opinion. Mar Bar Chiya Amar, he says, this is the question they sent him. Two edim went to one bezin to give edus about something. Then they went to different bezin and gave the same exact edus, and then they went to a third bezin and gave that same edus, and then all the dayanim from all these bati dinim decided to go to a rabbinical conference somewhere, and there was only one dayan left in all three bati dinim. Could we have one dayan from each bezin all come together? Now we have three dayanim from three bati dinim, and there's going to be a tziruf, and we'll say this edus is valid. And they continue explaining their question. This is not even a question. Now, according to Rav Nosson, that we know that individual edim are able to combine. We have one aid today, one aid tomorrow. We can combine their edos. Do you even have to ask about dayanim? Of course, dayanim are able to be metzarif, because usually we won't accept the edos of an individual aid. We will accept the statement of an individual dayan, and therefore we will be metzarif the dayanim. Ella, rather, kiti baylecha. What's our question to you? I'll leave it to Tanakama, Rav Nosson. According to Tanakama, who argues with Rav Nosson, edim who loy metzarfinon. Do we say that we don't combine edim avol dayanim metzarfinon, but we will combine dayanim? Maybe there's no difference, and there's no tziruf whatsoever. And on this, Shalach Lui sent the message, I'm not fitting for you to ask me this question. Rather, this is the way that your Talmud is inclined to answer, that there is tziruf. Now, Ravina says, this is the question they sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Three dayanim sat down to verify the shtar. They're going to write a henpik. They're going to confirm that this is 100% valid. And umeis echad mehen, one of them died after they got a clarity on the situation, but before they were actually able to sign their names on the document. And the question is as follows. Do they have to write the following? We were three dayanim, and one of them is not there. Or maybe they do not have to write it. We know that a standard henpik, this confirmation by Bezdin, says the beginning of this lashon, we were three dayanim, and we're coming to confirm the shtar, and then there's three signatures. But the potential problem is that if it has this lashon that we were three dayanim, but then it only has two signatures afterwards, because again, the third dayan died, so he can't sign, maybe that looks like a sheker, looks like a lie. They're writing there was three dayanim, but there's only two. So maybe they have to add in that lashon of V'chalei Sahi, one's not here anymore. And Shalach Lehu, he sent them back. I'm not fitting for you to send me this question. Rather, this is the way that your Talmud is inclined to say that they do have to write, we were three dayanim, but one of them's not here. And here the Gemara concludes, it's because of this that they let Rabbi Yirmiyah come back into the Beis Medrash, because he was Machniah himself. He called himself a Talmud, and not that he was Rabbi Yirmiyah, as they allowed him to come back into the Beis Medrash. And now moving on to our Mishnah, continue to discuss Shtaros. Over here, we've been getting into details of an ambiguous lashon in a shtar and how we're supposed to explain it. Let's say kasov bai, the shtar had the following written in it: zuzin meya de inun sloin esrin. That the document, let's say it's a shtar halva, was for 100 zuz, which is 20 sloim. Now that's not true. We know that 100 zuz is 25 sloim, and so obviously the question is, how much is the person able to collect? 100 zuz or 20 sloim, which is only 80 zuz? The answer is ein leyala esrin. He only gets 20 zuz, and that's because we say yad baal shtar al tachtoina, the one who has the shtar, he has the lower hand. And over here, we could actually explain that this makes sense due to the fact that 100 inferior zuzim are in truth only worth 20 slime. Therefore, he only got to collect 20 slime. Furthermore, let's say the shtar said, Meya de inun tlasin slime for 100 zuz, which is 30 slime. And again, we know that 100 zuz is not 30 slime, it's 25. Ainle alamane, he only gets a mana. Because here as well, it could be understood that the 30 slime is referring to 30 inferior slime, which is really only 100 zuz. Another case, let's say the Mishnah says, Kesef zuzin de inun, these silver zuzin, and the Venimchak, it got erased, and there was no number, so we don't know how many zuzim we're talking about. In Pachas Mishnayim, he doesn't get less than two. He doesn't get more than that, but he doesn't get less than that. Because since it says zuzin, so the minimum of zuzim is two, but again, he obviously can't tie no more than that, because we don't know how much more the number was erased. Furthermore, let's say it says kesef slime de inun, and once again, v'nimchak, it was erased after this and there was no number. In Pachas Mishnayim, he doesn't get less than two slime. And a similar case, darkoinis de inun, v'nimchak, it said the lashon of darkoinis, and then it was erased and there was no number there. In Pachas Mishnayim, he doesn't get less than two darkoinis. On to a different case, kasubay melmala, upwards in the top of the shtar, it said money. Umelmato masayim. But then later on in the shtar, it said 200. This is talking about the later part of the shtar where the borrower is accepting upon himself the achrayas to pay for the loan. So in the lower part, it said that he's accepting upon himself achrayas to pay 200, not 100, or the other way around. Milmala masayim, milmata money. Above it said 200, and below it said 100. Hakol echachar tachtoin. We always follow what it says on the bottom because we understand that that's a chazara of what it says above. Originally intended one sum, but later on they changed their minds to a different sum, and therefore we follow that later one. As the Mishnah imkain lama kasvinus al yoin. So then why even write the upper one if they decided to do the lower one? The answer is she'em timchak ois achas min hatachtoin, that if one letter from the lower part of the shtar got erased, yon min ha'alyon, so then we'll just learn from the upper part of the shtar. I think what brings the brisa with similar cases to the Mishnah, Tanur Banan, the brisa tells us, Amar, let's say it was written in the shtar, kesef, and that's all it said, and we don't know what it's referring to. Ein pachas midin or kesef, the shtar is referring to no less than a silver dinar. Let's say it says kesef dinarin, or it says v'dinarin kesef, ein pachas mishnei dinarim kesef. Then that means the shtar is referring to no less than 2 dinarim of kesef, because again, it uses the lashon of dinarin, which is plural. Now let's say in the shtar was written kesef b'dinarin. What does this mean? Ein pachas mishnei dinarim dehav kesef. It's not referring to anything less than the value of 2 gold dinarim in silver, meaning he has to pay him in silver, but the value of 2 gold dinarim. That's the lashon of kesef b'dinarin. And the Gemara later on is going to explain why that is. Now we explore the Braisa Amar, we had just stated, kesef, if that's all that was written in the shtar, ein pachasim dinar kesef, that means it's not less than 1 dinar kesef. Ask the Gemara of Ema Nascha, maybe it's just referring to a piece of silver, not a silver dinar, but a nascha, which is like a nugget of silver, and that's worth less than a dinar kesef. And on that, Amar Blazer answers, the kosef be matbea. The shtar also had the word matbea, coin, written in it, and therefore it's referring to a silver coin. Ask the Gemara of Ema Priti, so maybe it's referring to silver prutais, not silver dinarim, which are much more expensive than prutais. And on that, Amar Papa answers, ba'asu dole sagi priti de kaspa. This is referring to a place where they don't use silver prutais. This is a coin which is not in circulation, and therefore can't be referring to that. Now we have another similar brahisa. Tanur Bran brahisa tells us, if inside the shtar was written, dehav gold, ein pachasim dinar dehav, then that means the shtar is referring to no less than 1 gold dinar. Let's say it says, dehav dinrin, v'dinrin dehav, then ein pachas mishnei dinrin dehav. It's referring to no less than 2 gold dinarim. Now let's say it says, dehav bidinarin, ein pachas mishnei dinarim kesef dehav. It's referring to no less than the value of 2 silver dinarim meant to be paid in gold. And now explain this, brahisa Amar, it was stated, dehav, that if the only thing that was written in the shtar was dehav, gold, ein pachasim dinar dehav, that means it's referring to no less than 1 gold dinar. The Gemara asks the same question, ein manascha, maybe it's referring to a golden nugget, which is worth less than a gold dinar. And on this, Amar Blazer answers as well, the kasa matbea, the word matbea, coin, was written, so it must be referring to a gold dinar. Kavzam chavav amral on top, we ask the same question, ve'ema priti, maybe it's referring to golden prutais, and the answer to that is priti dava, loy of the inchi. No one mints golden prutais, it just simply doesn't exist, so it must be it's not referring to that. On to the last part of Brisa, which taught that if in the shtar was written, zahav bidinarin, ein pachas mebishnei dinarim kasef zahav, then that's referring to no less than the value of 2 silver dinarim to be paid off in gold. Ask more of Emo, why didn't I say, dava pricha betray dinari dava ka'amar, that the shtar is really referring to 2 golden nuggets that are valued at 2 golden dinarim. Why are we saying that it's referring to the lower amount of the value of 2 silver dinarim to be paid in gold? Maybe it's referring to the value of 2 golden dinarim to be paid off in golden nuggets. And on this, Amar Abaye answers, Yad Baal Shtar Al-Tachtoyna, the Baal Shtar, he has the lower hand. Since we don't know if it's referring to a higher amount or a lower amount, we just go with the lower amount. Now we're going to end off today with the Gemara's question that's not even written over here in our text. We take out the entire parentheses over here and we insert the following words, Ihachi Reisha Nami. If so, then what about the Reisha? We should say the same exact thing in the Reisha, that the Reisha, the first Braisa, which uses very same Lashon, Kesef Bidinarin, I would explain that to mean that the Shtar is referring to the value of 2 gold dinarim to be paid in silver, and that's a much higher amount. Why not say Yad Baal Shtar Al-Tachtoyna and say the Shtar is really referring to that the value of 2 silver dinarim needs to be paid in silver nuggets? And again, that would make sense because we're saying Yad Baal Shtar Al-Tachtoyna. Now we're going to end up with this cliffhanger of a question and begin tomorrow with the answer. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.